Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory,
sweet memory.
Oh, what joy,
oh, what joy
they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I
long
once more to be,
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory,
a memory.
Oh, what joy,
oh, what joy
they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I
long
once more to be,
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory,
of memory.
Oh, what joy,
oh, what joy
they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I
long
once more to be,
once more to be with my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning. Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as I open your word this morning, I'm asking, Father, the Holy Spirit to come forward to open our hearts and minds so that we are receptive, Father, in receiving this word. Because, Father, we know that as He guides and leads us and as we study, we will be getting the truth of this word and the depth of it. We're, Father, that we'll not be able to be deceived by every wind of doctrine. Now, Father, be with us throughout the study this morning. And I'm asking this all, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be here in Mark 1. When we change books like this, we went through Matthew, and we'll find a lot of the same thing here, which is a witness and letting us know that God's word is always the same and truthful. But we find different ways of recording it. It doesn't change the meaning or anything that way, but there is a difference in their recordings. Now, you take here in Mark, the beginning of it, you know, it all is always just a little different, as I say, than most of each other. you take Matthew, I'm just going to give you an example of what I'm speaking about. In Matthew, verse 1, is the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And then in 2, Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas, and his brethren. 3, and Judas begat Perez, and Zerah, and Tamar, and Perez begat Hezron, and all of those. Now, in Mark, as we start out here, with verse 1, in the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. 3, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, mark is as straight. See the difference? No. Verse 4, John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. You see, John's baptism there in water was for repentance. We're not baptized now for repentance. That's not why we're baptized. And that is the reason that we are no longer baptized according to John's baptism, but we are baptized in the name of Jesus. Because everything we do today and everything we receive all goes through him. He is the door. He is the gate. He is the way. And he is the only way. Now, you know, Mark here in the beginning begins with a burst of information that functions as a title. The gospel here refers not to the whole book, but to the content of the early Christian proclamation, which in turn centers on a person. Jesus is his given name. Christ is both a name and his Old Testament title. The Son of God points to his unique, familiar intimacy with the God of the Old Testament. Now, you see, it's quite a bit when we really slow down and study the words instead of just reading them. Now, that's why Revelation is so hard to understand, is because we read it, we don't really slow down and teach it. We should slow down and study it, but most don't. They just read it. And it makes it hard to understand. Now, here in verse 4, we found out now that John's baptism was for repentance. In verse 5, and there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. 6, and John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of the skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey. But his clothing wasn't that of rich people, was it? But he was covered. And his food sure wasn't what you and I would be wanting today either. Wild honey in a boat. Now, 7, and preach, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latches of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. 8, I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. You see, he's talking there in verse 8. He's talking about I and he, and stressing the contrast. John has a vital function, but Jesus has an even greater one, as John was used by God to administer immersion in water. Jesus will serve to bring men under the influence of the Holy Spirit. We know that happened on the day of Pentecost, when they were all in that upper room, and Jesus had went back to heaven to sit on the right hand of God, the Father. And the Holy Spirit then was sent back to mankind. So now we have him with us to give us comfort, to give us guidance, to give us knowledge, wisdom, and also to give us the power of Almighty God in order to do the work that the Lord wants us to do. When he calls upon us to do something, we have the power there to do it because the Holy Spirit is the one that brought it to us. And he is living in you and I. So never let anyone think that when you do something God has asked you to do and they go to praise you for it, no. Because you see, it wasn't you. It was the Holy Spirit of Almighty God working through you. And you need to always let them know. No, the Holy Spirit of Almighty God is the one that did that. It wasn't me. It wasn't my power. That's like if I pray for you and your sickness, and your sickness is healed right then. A miracle of God. Don't look at me. Go to praising me for your healing. Because it wasn't me that done it. If you depended on me and my power to be healed, you're going to be sick a long time. Now, 9. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. 10. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. You see, Jesus walked on this earth. just like you and I. Up until time for his ministry to start, those first 30 years of his time here on earth was spent just like you and I. Without that power of Almighty God. Now, when he was baptized there in Jordan by John, as we see here, that's when the Spirit descended upon him. And also, 11, and there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He had lived all of those first years of his life just as man. And yet he did it without sin, letting you and I know. And he is being the example that it can be done, because the only way you and I are going to get to heaven is by repenting, being forgiven, and then live our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can, because actually, now we have something that is far greater than we ourselves to give us the help and the knowledge and all that we need in order to be able to do it. It's not within ourselves. It all comes from God. And immediately the Spirit guideth him into the wilderness. Now, as soon as he has the approval of the Father, and he now has been filled with the Holy Spirit, now takes him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered unto him. Now, you know, when you and I go to the Lord Jesus Christ and repent, and we are forgiven, you and I, we need to pick up this book we call the Holy Bible and begin our life of the study of God's Word. Because without it, you'll never make heaven your home. That's why we are told to study His Word daily. And it's in your Bible, you look it up. Now, most don't want to, and most all are too busy. They got too many things of their own to do. They ain't got time. Well, one day you're going to stand before him, and he ain't going to have time for you. And he's going to let you know it. Because we're told what he's going to tell you He's going to tell you, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. It don't matter how much you claim to be a Christian and a child of God. You see, he knows. Now, he spent 40 days in the wilderness. We can't spend 5-10 minutes a day in prayer and reading his word. Now, 14. Now, after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now, John's been put in prison because he made the king and the king's wife mad over telling them the truth. You see, you can tell people the truth and it makes them mad because they don't want to accept it. Now, Fifteen. We know now that Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. You can't believe it if you don't know it. And you can't know it unless you study it. And you can't study it unless you take the time to sit down with this Holy Bible to study. Now, 16. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. 18, and straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. No arguments or nothing all about it. They followed him. You see, he knew them and he knew what they would do when he told them. Because you see, the Lord God and that Holy Spirit knows everything. Now, 19. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship, mending their nets. So they're fishers too. And straightway he called them, and they left their father and Zebedee, their father Zebedee, in the ship with the hired servants, and went after him. Now, 21. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. Now, he's in the Jewish synagogue teaching. 22. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes, because for one he had the authority to do it, and he is teaching them truths and something different than they had been taught. You see, that's what set them against him. Now, 23. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." You see, the demons know him. They know who he is. And all. Here in 25. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him. No long drawn out nothing going on." He just spoke and told him exactly what to do. "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. Because you see, these demons, they cannot stand against the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't have that kind of power. Now, 27. And they were all amazed insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commanded he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." 28. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region around about Galilee. Now, 29. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John, but Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. This forthwith and anon are diphthylic variations for the same Greek word meaning immediately. Immediate. And 31. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. Now, she ministered unto them. In other words, she was taking care of their needs after being sick. But it was just that quick. And at evening when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. 33. And all the city was gathered together at the door. Now he's getting these great multitudes because of the things that he was doing. Because you see, until him and his ministry, man couldn't do these things. Now, here he is, a man. He's on this earth in the flesh. And as far as people knew, he was just another man. 34. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. Now, 35. And in the morning, raising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. You see, he spent time in prayer. Now, 36. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. He's letting them know that he is to teach all around. That's why he came. Now, 39, priests in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. 40, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. And you see, with a leper in that day and time, man was not supposed to touch him, because in touching him, you could catch him. But Jesus reached out and touched him and then healed. 42. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him and forthwith sent him away and saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Now, ...45... but he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places. And they came to him from every quarter. They're coming to him from all over, because of the things they were seeing him do and what he was doing for them. He was healing them, and he was getting rid of the devils and things that were in them that they had for no telling how long, some of them for years. And depending on what that devil was. Some of them were in real, real, real bad shape, mentally and physically. And Jesus is healing them all. And you and I are supposed to be the children of Almighty God. And we are to be His church today. And we are to be doing what He was doing while He was here on this earth. That's what your churches are supposed to be for. Now, we have come to the end of chapter 1, so we're going to be stopping here for this morning. God willing, we'll pick up here with chapter 2, going to be dealing with more healing and all, and a lot more things that mankind, that Jesus does that mankind don't like. Just like with you and I today. You let somebody know. Tell somebody that there's something wrong in their life. And see how much they're going to want you around. No. They're not going to want you around, really. For the most part, oh, you'll find one every now and then. But for the most, no. Just like that lady that came to me a couple of years back in church, and she said, I have a question for you. I said, well, all right, ask. If I can answer it, I will. She said, why is it that when I'm sitting in church and the service is going, concentrate on it? She said that I just don't pay attention. And I asked her, I said, well, tell me something. How were you baptized? She told me. I told her, I said, that right there is one of your problems. I told her, I said, because you have never really fulfilled the plan of salvation rightly, and you need to be rebaptized. You need to be baptized in Jesus' name. That's the last time she ever spoke to me. But it's not the last time she ever talked about me. Because she talked about me everywhere I went. I hated women. I didn't like women. He just don't like women at all. He don't know anything. All because I told her the truth. You see, that's what happens in this day and time. And we all need to be seeking for more of the power of Almighty God working in our lives for others to see that the Lord God is still working today. Just as He was while He was here on earth and before. No, but they'll tell you, and your church will tell you, oh, that all died when the apostles died. No, it didn't. to come close to all that. They're still healing all done. I know. And you that know me that's with me now, you know that we've had healings right here in this ministry. You see, maybe not as many as really we should have had, but we have had them. And even back, some of the family of the members of this ministry. You know, God is no respecter of persons. You don't have to be rich. In fact, it's harder for you, for a rich man, than it is for the lowly. But you have to be sincere. And you have to really want it. Seek it. And ask for it. And if you will stay sincere and you can believe and put your faith and trust in Him, you can receive the things that God wants you to have in order to be able to do the things He has for you to do. And He'll let you know what those things are. Oh, now, Pastor, how do you know that? Because He's let me know things that He wanted me to do. I was standing by a lady's bed in the hospital. I was working in a hospital. That was the way I was making my living. Because I had never taken money for preaching. God's always seen that I had work, was able to do it, and I never could see how I could charge Him for doing His work. I love Him. I love the Lord Jesus. I love the Holy Spirit. I love His word. I love teaching His word. And I was standing by this bed. This lady had been in a coma for 4 months. And every Sunday, her church Sunday school class, the ladies would come in, gather around the bed and have prayer. They was always there just the time that I was having to take care of her. Then I'd leave, let them have their time for prayer and all. One day, one of them looked at me and said, she said, "You know, we know you're a preacher." She said, "Why haven't you joined us in prayer?" And I thought, I said, "Because the Lord hadn't told me to." And she looked at me like I had two heads. Went on and left. A couple of weeks later, back in on Sunday. And they had their prayer and all, step out in the hall, and they stand out in the hall talking. I'm standing there by the bed. And the Lord spoke to me and told me that now is her time. That's just the way He said it. Now is her time. I looked at her and I had my hands on the rail. I had the rails up on the bed. I had my hands on the rail. I looked at her and I said, "Hun, you're going to have to tell me what you want me to do." Nothing happened. I spoke the same thing the second time. One lady was outside there in the hall, stuck her head around the door. She said, "You know she can't hear you." I never said a word. I just looked at the lady and I told her the third time. And the third time that I told her, her eyes opened up, her hand came up off the bed, laid down on top of mine, She told me, she looked up at me and she said, I said, yes, and now I can. We had prayer. And the next day she was across the street from the hospital into a rehab place, getting her strength back and making sure her balance and all was all right. But she had been in bed fast, not moving for 4 months. She was healed. You see, God will let you know things He wants you to do. Now, a lot of times He don't have to tell you, because we are to pray for everyone. But there are those that are special that He will tell you. I've had to pray for a minister in his church, and one that didn't even believe in prayer. And his wife, if Lux would have killed, I'd have been dead a long time ago. But God sent me to him. And when I got to his house, knocked on the door, his wife came going, she looked and seen who it was out there. She never even spoke. She just stood there, and I asked if he was there. She called him. He told me to come on in. I said, no, you come on out. Well, I knew I wouldn't want it in there. And I told him what the Lord had gave me, telling him what the Lord had showed me. And I told him, I said, the Lord said if you go to the church and pray, this that you've been praying for will be yours. He said, I'll follow you down. He said, will you go with me? I told him, I said, no. He didn't tell me to. He told you. And he did. He got in his car and he followed me down. He ended up teaching and preaching this Bible, the truths of it. No ways close to the denomination that that church was. The church was an independent fundamental Baptist church. And his wife never would speak to me. He built an addition onto that church. That church ended up packed. And he was really a man of God. And a year later, God took him home. God will work with you if you work with Him. But you've got to take the time to get Him. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, we have closed your word, and we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we pray for Israel, for peace for them. For we pray that they will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah. In this land of ours, Father, we pray for things to change here. And for all of the evil to be taken out of our government and replaced, Father, with those that belong to you, that love you, love the Lord Jesus Christ, love your church and your people and this country, and will work with us to bring this land to repentance and put our government back upon the foundation which it was founded, and that being your word, Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, pray for all of those that are on my prayer list, Father, and in my heart, and their families. And Father, keep them all through the day. You know who they are, Father. Keep them all through the day in health, in safety, and bring them all back together again this evening, Father, at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, back into your word. Keep us all, Father, and our families this day. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. All right. Have a good one. Take care, and I pray to see you this evening at 6:00.